Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
All right, let's turn our attention now back to Penn State for a moment, bring in Jay Paterno. First of all, Jay, how have you been? It's great to have you with us.
Well, I was having a great fall until Saturday, but I mean, you know, the reality is the sun came up, so it's onward and upward.
All right, you've been in this position before, and on a day where you end up going 1-for-16 on third down, which in the end is that's the part that just crushes you offensively. You can't sustain anything. You know, what as you're standing there trying to come up with, quote, something, because you know what's happening, how difficult is that as you're trying to go through a game and say, okay, we've got to find something that works to keep drives going? What's that like because you've lived it?
Well, I think everybody's focused on the 1-for-16 on the third downs, really. And the thing, the number inside that number is really the 1-of-8 on third and fourth downs and 4 or less. That's where they really didn't make any hay.
Right, and that's what I talked about.
That's your swing. That's your swing right there because, you know, third and 30. I mean, God doesn't make that. But at the end of the day, those are the things. And so you're trying to, and they tried different things. I think, you know, they threw the ball out to Singleton on the third and one. It was a little behind them. They tried throwing, tried running it. So I just think that Ohio State's really good defensively. You know, I mean, some of the things Ohio State's tried to do in their short yardage, they used Devin Brown coming into that game who got hurt. There may be, you know, as you go ahead, there may be a role for a guy like Pagula to do that kind of stuff if they're still having those kind of troubles. But it's difficult. But dang, you're still in that game. And that game came out pretty much how most people thought it was going to be, come down to a mistake or a turnover. And Penn State just didn't capitalize on the turnover when they had the shot.
It's difficult because, see, I'm trying to think, somebody one time told me, well, he probably told me 30 times. He said something to me about, Steve, it comes down to 4 or 5 key plays every game, and it could be play 1, it could be play 78.
Yep.
I think you may know who that individual reference.
I've heard that. Believe me, I heard that a few times, too.
Yeah, okay. And I've felt the Ohio State games over the last few years, for the most part, have come down to a key player sequence in the first half and a key player sequence in the second half, and Ohio State, for the most part, has won those.
Yeah,
the first half, the sequence was the Jacobs play, and then they keep the ball, get a touchdown. The other one was after the punt went off the foot of Fleming and Elsdon recovered and Penn State could not convert and then went for it on fourth down and Ohio State eventually scored. Is that too simple on my part?
No, I think that's the main thing. I think if you look at when the ball went off Fleming's foot, I'm watching the game going, okay, there's the Mark Rubin moment that we've all been waiting for. You know,
That's exactly what I told Jack, the Mark Rubin moment.
The kid that didn't come to Penn State, he's at Ohio State. I'm going, oh my God, it's poetic justice. And we didn't, you know, obviously didn't get the score on it. And I think one of the things, you know, there's been a lot of people critical of the offensive court, Mike Yurcich. There's been a lot of people critical of what Al Allard played. But the reality is this. You know, you're in an offense that's a little different than what Penn State's been because you don't have that mobile quarterback. And that, the minute you don't have the mobile quarterback, that opens up all the coverage playbook to you as a coordinator on defense. So it makes it more difficult in those third downs because they can do more stuff. And Ohio State's a really, really good defensive football team.
Yes.
They tackle really, really well. I mean, they hadn't given up a pass play of 36 yards or longer than 36 yards all year. Have not given up a run of 22 yards or more than 22 yards all year. They're not great offensively, but they're going to be a handful of plays them, you know, on defense.
1995 game at Michigan State. Last play of the game, Wally gets the ball to Bobby Engram because Joe said, plain out, I want the ball in Bobby Engram's hands because he's the best player on the field. You knew going into the game Marvin Harrison was the best player in the field. In fact, when they played Georgia, he was the best player on the field. Not Jalen Carter, not Nolan Smith. It was Marvin Harrison. How difficult is it? I know he's a wide receiver, but how difficult is it all day long to deal with a guy like that who is the best player in the field?
Well, what people realize is he's so big and physical, so it's tough. You mean, you know, King interfered with him on a couple of plays, and he still caught the dang ball. And, you know, yeah, you can't do much more than that. You know, you're breaking the rules to cover. But you know, what I think people realize is for most of that game, Penn State kept Ohio State on a long field. They kept him in check. He didn't get the big over-the-top fade route on him for the touchdown. I mean, they really did a good job against him. The one breakout play was the crossing route late in the game, and Ohio State finally came to that adjustment. But, you know, was he the difference in the game? I wouldn't necessarily say that as it relates to that. Stover made a couple of big plays. They ran the ball fairly well when they had to. But at the end of the day, you know, the mistakes, you know, the fourth down three was kind of the pivotal point in the game when Penn State didn't make it. Because other than that, it's a one-score game, and Penn State, you know, did what they had to do out there to have a chance to win in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. They play, for the most part, they played zone, and they ran the two wides deep against the zone, and that opened it up underneath. That's how I saw it. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, and they got in his face and held him up sometimes, and they did a nice job. And look, at the end of the day, you know, up until the fourth down, when you look at Ohio State's average starting field position was their own 22-yard line.
That's right.
They did a great job. I mean, that was a well-coached football game, and you take your shot on the fourth and three because you feel like this is your shot. And it didn't work out for you. So, you know, everybody wants to be critical of coaching and the third down. You know, they never put the defense in a bad position. The defense had a field to defend almost the entire game. You know, I thought coming away from that thing, you know, you got a young quarterback on the road and you have a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and, you know, you go through 3.5 hours of that. And you know, it's interesting because Penn State came into the game averaging 6.3 yards per play on first down. Because we talk about the 1 of 16 on third down. It's what you do on first and second down that sets up what your deal is on third down. Well, they averaged 6.1 on first down in this game. But when you're 0 of 6 on third and less than four, and you're 1 of 3 on fourth down, all right, and I think what, 2 of the 4th downs were less than 4. That sound right?
I mean,
that not finding a conversion there somewhere is tough. And that's a credit to Ohio State's defense, but that's hard to do sometimes. And you can't sustain any momentum when that's happening, right?
No, and part of it is getting in a rhythm.
Yeah.
Because when you get into a rhythm, then you get confident. I think there was a little bit of, and look, there's some young people in key spots on the offensive quarterback to where when you have, you know, this is the first time he's really had that kind of adversity, and he'll learn from it, and Drew will learn from it, the team will learn from it. Without a guy like Langdon up front at guard, that's a big loss. I mean, they're missing some key people. In terms of leadership and that kind of thing. So
yeah.
I think, you know, when you get into that, it's hard. You need somebody to kind of take charge. And I don't know if they have that personality on that offense. You know, when you watch Michigan with J.J. McCarthy, that kid, you know, he's been around. You know, there's only three or four teams in the country, a quarterback that started more than 15 games in a top 10, 20 defense. So Penn State's got the top 20 defense. Don't have a very experienced quarterback yet, but you know what? There's so many things ahead of him right now. And look, there's so many things ahead of this team. Now,
yes.
I know immediately everybody's like, well, Michigan. I said, dude, play Indiana first. And then Maryland is not a given.
That's right.
People are looking at Michigan already. And then after Michigan, Rutgers is playing pretty good football right now, too. So, I mean,
6-2.
You know, yeah, just take it one at a time, folks. Like, honestly,
right.
The sun came up this morning. The leaves are beautiful. Let's look forward to the Indiana game.
As a coaching staff, every coaching staff handles it, you know, in their own way. After something like this, what was the way that the staffs you were on handled the first couple of days of the next week to do what you could to get the team back on track?
Well, I'll give you two different examples. One was good, one was bad. In 99, you know, we lost to Minnesota in a game we never should have lost. It was crushing. And that team moped around. And it was tough to get them off it. And then we went out and played Michigan, had them down 10 points, and they drove twice. Some quarterback named Brady drove two long drives to beat us.
Yeah.
And, you know, that team really went in the tank after that Minnesota loss. Just never really got their footing back under them. And I go to 05, we just had a brutal loss out of Michigan where a couple things that shouldn't happen happened. And that team made up their mind that we're going to win the rest of our games. Same thing in 08 when we lost to Iowa. That team just said, we're going to win the rest of our games, win the Big Ten. So that can happen for this team, but it has to start with Indiana. And, you know, I feel like I would be a good guy for the, you know, mental health hotline for Penn State fans right now. I may have to open up a hotline and say, call me and I'll try and talk you through this.
Well, that's because there's a couple things. So let's just turn our attention now. It's got to be Indiana next. No matter what you do, you've got to come out. You've got to win this game this week. I know there's no getting around it.
Yep.
In 17, 19, and 22, Penn State hit November, and there was nobody left on the schedule that gave them a signature win. They won, but there was nobody that vaulted them. They still have opportunities based on what they have here that's still in front of them that actually can do that, Jay.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you go out and you beat Michigan. And then if you go out and win the next two, I'm getting ahead of myself already.
If
Penn State would have run the table, and Michigan beats Ohio State, which I think that, you know, if I had to make a guess as to right now, I think Michigan's best team in this conference, maybe, but you know, just in terms of the whole package.
Sure.
Penn State beats them, and if Penn State wins out, and Michigan beats Ohio State, now you get a three-way tie with one loss each. You know, based on all three of them, you know, who goes to the Big Ten championship game? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. Probably Ohio State. Based on the Notre Dame win, the Penn State win, I don't know, because Michigan hasn't beaten anybody yet.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you're sitting there at 11-1, and whether you make the Big Ten championship or not, the playoff committee's got a decision to make about a lot of. I think there'll be a lot of one-loss teams laying around, and who knows? But if you don't take care of Indiana, end of story. And this is a game that, quite frankly, I think that Penn State comes out and they're focused. I think it would be great to go out and try and get a fast start for Allar. To give him a little confidence and get down the field. And this is a defense that's quite, you know, Indiana's defense is not real good. I mean, they're the best part of their team right now.
Right.
But to go out and get the running game going, get some play action game, get them confident and go and get out and jump on them early, I think then that resets his team for the rest of the way.
One final question before I let you go, and that's on Drew Aller. You do your show every week with Tom Bradley,
yep.
So you look at a lot of video during the week. You've now looked at seven games of Drew Aller as a starting quarterback, getting a lot of reps in. Where is he better now than you think he was the first two or three games of the season?
Well, I think the one thing is he's playing better competition, so maybe his numbers have not been better. But he's playing better football teams. I think he's incredible. He does a great job of moving around the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield. He does a really good job of protecting the football and not putting his defense in a bad position. And the one thing I worry about him right now is he might be a little too tentative in that regard. I think right now the next thing for him is going to be to anticipate some things and let the ball rip. Downfield. I think that's the one area where you look at it. We did a couple weeks ago, we broke down the three Big Ten games during the bye week as where the ball had gone. Not a lot of balls downfield, but at the same token, hadn't turned the ball over, and they've done a great job capitalizing on turnovers, which is one of the surprises about Saturday with the fumble. I mean, they've just done a great job with that stuff. But I think the game is slowing down for him a little bit, it looks like. But, you know, that the one thing with him is they're going to have to protect him, and they're going to have to get some running game going to help him out.
Jay, always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it so much.
Well, always fun, Steve, and see you down the line soon.